Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the longer I live on this planet, the more I come to know that life, my life, is all about Jesus. The more I read my Bible, the more I realize that my life, from beginning to end into eternity, is all about Jesus. And the Bible itself, from beginning to end, is all about Jesus. And as those two true stories, the true story of the Bible and the true story of my life, as they intersect, I always seem to find Jesus standing in the middle, at the intersection of his story and my story. Because Jesus is not some made-up guy like Harry Potter or Anakin Skywalker. He's not just some philosopher like Plato or Aristotle. He's not just some prophet like Muhammad or even one of our prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah. Jesus is not some salesman, someone to make me feel better about myself. He's not a motivational speaker, a self-help guru. Jesus is the author of life. He's the creator of all life. And even more than this, Jesus is life. He is my life and your life. Now, on this 4th of July weekend, we've already begun to gather as family and friends and neighbors, as American citizens, to celebrate the country we love so much, the freedoms and the lives that we live. We remember and give thanks for those who have laid down and sacrificed their lives for us so that we'd have the ability to freely gather in places for worship and to do other things like shoot off fireworks, or to swim in lakes, to cook hot dogs or hamburgers, to bake apple pies, to roast corn on the cob, to slice watermelon, to watch sacrifice bunts or flies, and listen to Mike Shannon and John Rooney. And this past week, over 180 different kids, over 90 different volunteers from all different ages, we're able to freely gather in this place, which we call Chapel of the Cross. And they didn't just gather to do some random thing. They came here for the Barnyard Roundup. What's that? Well, it's a vacation Bible school where we learned that Jesus is life, the Lord of life, and how Jesus is the Lord of life. We were gathered into this place each morning so that Jesus could stand in the middle of our story, at the middle of our lives, where our lives intersect with his true story through the Bible. We gathered each day for 3 hours, and we celebrated our life in Jesus, how he won for us new life by laying down his life, sacrificing his perfect life as true God and true man, when he died on a real cross, in a real place, at a real time. A public place in front of tons of real people. So many real people that when Jesus was crucified by a real Pontius Pilate, who really served as the real governor of a real place called Judea, that Pilate would write on a sign, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," in 3 real languages, Greek, Latin, and Aramaic, because there were so many real people that were there, he had to have that sign written for them to read. We gathered each day this past week, or Jesus gathered us, for the Barnyard Roundup, for the same reason that Jesus gathers us today. And every time we worship, whether it's Sunday morning, 8 a.m., or 10:45, or Monday night, 7 p.m., or Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Whether it's a weekend of 4th of July, or just a mundane summer Sunday or Monday, or even Christmas Eve or Easter, or a wedding celebration, Jesus gathers us for worship so that he can feed us, nourish us, give us life, because he's the Lord of the life. On day one, Jesus gathered us here to remind us that he's the good shepherd. The kids learned that Jesus cares, and every time we said that, we yelled, "Now and forever, yee-haw," because it was barnyard roundup. At the 10:45 service, they'll probably do it the whole sermon, and I will lose my place, and that's fine. We learn that Jesus is the only good shepherd because only Jesus cared enough to lay his life down for us, his sheep, even though we don't deserve that, even though we're sinful. Jesus cares. Jesus cared that we're sinful, and we're born and conceived sinful and lost in death. Jesus found us and made us alive by his life, death, and resurrection. On Friday, he even found Miley, the granddaughter of two of our members who was not baptized yet. Her parents don't believe in Jesus, but they gave permission for her to be baptized at her VBS. And so Miley found, or was found, by Jesus through the waters of baptism on Friday. And the Bible verse that the kids learned on the first day, though, was Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." On the second day, on Tuesday, Jesus gathered us as he gathered 5,000 people one day to hear how he gathered 5,000 people one day and how he fed them with just some small fish and small bread. He fed all of them, and there were 12 basketfuls left over. The kids learned that Jesus doesn't just care, Jesus provides. And they would all yell, "Now and forever, yee-haw." Jesus does provide all our needs. Many times we don't realize how much Jesus provides or all the ways Jesus does provide. And ultimately, he will provide even the way through death into eternal life. And Jesus, after he fed the people, the 5,000 people with bread and with fish, Jesus told the people, "Whoever eats and drinks not bread and fish, but my body and blood, I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus promises he will give us eternal life. The Bible passage we learned on the second day was Psalm 23, verse 2. "He maketh me lie down in green pastures." On the third day, Wednesday, Jesus gathered us to tell the parable of the man who sowed seeds. And the kids learned that Jesus leads. And they all yelled, "Now and forever, yee-haw." Well, how does Jesus lead? The parable of the sower shows us that Jesus leads by the power of his Holy Spirit working through the promises of his words recorded in the Bible. And Jesus has the promise, all who hear and believe will be saved. That's why programs like VBS are so important. This past year, we had 180 different kids. 57 were from Chapel La Crosse. That means 130 were not. Now, 37 were from Zion Lutheran down the road. So now that means, if you add those two numbers up, 100 were not from Chapel or Zion. Now, 50 did go to some other non-Lutheran church, or maybe Emmanuel or Messiah or something like that. I'm not sure. But there were some 37 kids who did not have a church home that came. And one was baptized. And that's awesome. All who hear the word of God, all who hear the word of God and believe will be saved. The Bible passage we learned from that day was Psalm 23, verse 3. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." On the fourth day, on Thursday, Jesus gathered all of us to hear another parable, a well-known parable. You know it as the parable of the prodigal son, or perhaps the parable of the lost son. The kids learned that Jesus doesn't just care, provide, and lead. Jesus forgives. We wouldn't live unless Jesus forgives. And the kids would yell, "Now and forever, yee-haw." The prodigal son, as he's also known, did some terrible things. terrible things to his father, his older brother, his family. He took his inheritance. He took his work ethic. He took the family possessions, and he left and squandered them on terrible living. He certainly did not deserve his father's love, let alone his forgiveness, and yet was welcomed back into his home, not as a slave or a servant, but as a son. The father slaughtered the fattened calf only that would be used for a wedding celebration for his terrible son. And yet Jesus tells this parable to show us how great his Heavenly Father's love is for all of us. No matter what we've done or have not done, through Jesus, God's true Son, all of our sins are completely forgiven. We don't have to do anything to earn that forgiveness. We don't have to do anything. We couldn't do any payback just for one sin. I mean, think about what Adam and Eve really did all that bad. They took the bite of one piece of fruit. And what happened? Everything bad came out of that one choice. Everything, every car accident, every cancer, every death, every sin, every broken relationship, all came from one bite. So one little sin has to be paid for with something that's so perfect that can reverse even death. So there are no such things as little sins. One little sin is enough to make everything in God's perfect creation bad. It's enough to bring death into the world, and so Jesus, God's perfect Son, had to die so he could completely forgive, completely make right and righteous all who would believe in him. And we are God's children. We don't have to become. We are God's children, not because of what we do or how well we do it, but only because of what Jesus has done and how well he did it. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned once. He was tempted in every way that Adam and Eve and we have been tempted. But he never failed, not even once. And then he, who was perfect, died the death of a criminal for us. He didn't say that's not fair. He went silently to the slaughter as a sheep, Isaiah writes. And the Bible passage that we learned on that day, the fourth day, was Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can fear no evil, even in the valley of the shadow of death, because Jesus walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And we learned on day 5 what happened. When he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he came out alive. Jesus gathered us on Friday to remind us how he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the risen Jesus. She was a prostitute in her life. She had 7 demons possessing her, the Bible says, until she met Jesus. She became one of Jesus' closest disciples. And after Jesus rose from the dead, she went to the tomb to anoint his dead body, but she couldn't find it. And Jesus appeared to her, and she thought Jesus was a gardener who had stolen or moved Jesus' body, and she was filled with sorrow. And she begged the gardener to show her where the body lay so she could finish the anointing of his body. And all Jesus said was, Mary. And she recognized the good shepherd who knew her name. And she was filled with great joy. And she went back and told the disciples what had happened. And they too would then believe. And on that Friday, this past Friday, Jesus, as he said, Mary, spoke the word Miley. And he said, Miley, I am now giving you a new name. In my name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the heavens were opened, and God the Father said, you are my child. And the kids learned that day more than any other day I could ever imagine. Jesus is our Savior. And they would yell, now and forever, yeehaw. And the Bible passage they learned and memorized was Psalm 23, verse 6. The last verse of that wonderful psalm. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Probably the most important word in the Bible. A true story is forever. The most important word in the most famous chapter of the Bible, Psalm 23, is the last word. Forever. Because Jesus is not a made-up person. He's not Harry Potter or Anakin Skywalker. He's the Lord of life. He's the beginning of life, and he's the eternal life. There's no end to life. It's always forever when you're in Jesus. Yes, it was an amazing week here at the Barnyard Roundup. As you can see, some of the set is still up. It was an amazing week because of Jesus. 180 different kids, 90 plus volunteers. I was told I had to show off Pete the pig, who helped us count our offerings every week. We raised over $2,400 without any matches from any institution to go to CRC in India, Pastor Sam's group, and Compass in St. Louis, two organizations that both take Jesus and God's Word of Life to underprivileged children with healthy food and snacks and feeds them real food with real Jesus. One girl even came up to me on Friday after it was all done and said, in her voice, she couldn't say her R's very well. I like, not that I like that, but I've had a son who can't do that. My brother always called me Moke for the first 10 years of his life, so it reminds me of that. But she came up to me and she said, Pastor Hannah, I put in $12 today. And she then told me she owed her mom 10, but her mom allowed her to put that 10 in the offering. And she was so excited to allow her offerings to be taking Jesus to underprivileged children. But every week is supposed to be this amazing. Not just VBS week, not just Easter week, not just Christmas week, but every week, because it's always about Jesus. Life is all about Jesus. That's why Jesus gave us the church, not the building, although the building is wonderful, and we thank God for the privilege to meet in this building. But he gave us the church, the ability to gather in his name, two or more gathered in his name with the promise, there I am. When Jesus' story and your story and my story intersect, there's life. That's what life's about. And just as he stood to a bent down Mary who was clasping his feet in sorrow, he stood there as the resurrection and the life for Mary. He stands for us today. He is our good shepherd. And we know he's our good shepherd because only Jesus can care like Jesus, provide like Jesus, lead like Jesus, forgive like Jesus. And because of all of that, we know like no other person that Jesus truly is our Savior. In Jesus' name, and to him be all the glory. Amen.